Alrighty, we are here. It has been a couple months since we did an episode, of course, our last one, our anticipated films for the whole year. So we haven't been keeping up with our monthly discussions of all that stuff like we had promised. But nonetheless, we are here for, as you can tell by the title, the 2023 Oscars, which as of recording this, we're on the Tuesday, so they're not to Sunday, so we're a few days away. So, you know, that will inform some of our answers.
Yes.
To these, given that I didn't get all the watching done that I wanted to get done in time before this recording, but it is what it is. Come up when we get into some of the documentary feature category, especially. So, nonetheless, we are here to discuss them. We're technically going to go through every category. Obviously, some will be much quicker discussions than others will be. And we'll just go through, you know, what we, you know, in some cases, not every category, but in some cases, what we would like to win, because, you know, some we don't have as much of an opinion about. And then obviously what we expect to win. So we are going to go in, if you want to follow along at home for some reason here, we are going to use the Vanity Fair's website's ballot. So we're going to start at the very bottom and work our way up, which on their ballot, they have a sound at the very bottom.
Okay.
So the five sound nominees are, of course, All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water, The Batman, Elvis, and Top Gun Maverick. You know, this is me where it's like, you know, I haven't gone to film school. You know, I like to think I do know a decent amount about film and whatnot. But, you know, me and like sound design and stuff, not my forte. Not something I particularly know a lot about. You know. Luckily, I have seen all five of these movies. Like, we'll go with that. We yes. Both have seen all five of these.
Yes.
You know, so sound. So this is not score or music. This is everything else. Just looking at, because I do have them pulled up here at least on DraftKings, the odds to bet on for all the Oscar categories. Okay. So Top Gun is a massive favorite in this category, which is fair. I would say, which, you know, I do think Top Gun's going to win a few of these below the line stuff. It's not going to be, you know, Dune of last year where it wins all of these like Dune did last year. But I am going to have to take Top Gun in this category because why not?
Okay. Of course, me, I really don't know what they judge this on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sounds are all there that I could tell. They're nice and loud.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea, but yeah, Top Gun sounds like a good one. The noise of jets and motorcycles and all that might be hard to duplicate in the studio. I don't know. So we can go with Top Gun.
All righty. So dual Top Gun pick. So... up next is costuming. Another one we're going to kind of skip the what we want to win because I don't really, you know, crucify me in front of a film school. I don't care about the costuming stuff. Sorry. So the nominees this year are Babylon, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Okay, sure. Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, which, okay. And Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris, which I do sort of understand in, like, the same way that I understood the Cruella nomination in this category last year. So looking at the odds, this one is pretty close. They do have it a pretty close race between Elvis and Black Panther, so...
Okay.
Currently, at least at the sports book, that's what they got. Between Elvis and Panther. This is where I'm going to have to tie this in to one of my leader picks. Because I think, you know, historically the trend is that it has to win some sort of down the line stuff for to be a strong Best Picture contender, really. So in that case, I am going to take, I do think Elvis will win this one.
Okay. Well, once again, I really don't know what goes into choosing, you know, best costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis, they have to wear the costumes and stuff of the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. Black Panther, since it's a made-up world, they could put anything they want on it.
Mm-hmm. Babylon's the same thing. They got to get, like, the 20s and stuff.
And, you know, everything everywhere. Once again, I think a made-up kind of world. Mrs. Harris, okay, that's...
like the 50s or 60s, somewhere in there. 50s,
60s, and I forget the brand name she loved.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't seem too hard to get that for me. So Elvis would be my choice also. I think Elvis... At least I know more of that era, so...
Sure. And those are a little more well-known costumes.
Well-known costumes, yes.
Right. All right, so we're both going with Elvis.
Okay.
All right, cinematography. This is a, I'm going to say, an odd selection this year. These choices here. Let me find the cinematography odds. Okay. They got weird this year. So we have All Quiet on the Western Front, which after seeing it, not surprising that it's here. I get it. Bardo, False Chronicle of a Handful of Truths.
Okay, I never saw it.
No. This is Inarritu, which the Academy normally loves Inarritu. So for this to be its lone nomination is weird. But I do get why they gave it to him in that weird way.
Okay.
I don't think it's a very good movie. Elvis is here, Tar is here, and then the other is the Academy, it's Roger Deakins, is it a good movie? No, but they gave Empire of Light a cinematography nomination because it's Roger Deakins.
Okay.
On the sportsbook odds front, this is basically All Quiet has already won this award, basically, which I don't disagree with. Out of these choices, I don't.
Okay.
You know, I'd argue for some films that weren't nominated, like maybe like a Nope in this category, even though I know that's not the kind of movie that they will ever nominate, but they nominated Bardo, which is a very, very weird movie. So out of these options, I am definitely going to pick All Quiet on the Western Front. For as much as I love Tar, the cinematography is not the big... hoo-ha of that movie, you know.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. As much as I know of cinematography, I was wondering why, you know, Tar doesn't seem like it's that special.
I mean, it's well shot. It's nothing, you know, that I'm going to, like, it's not, you know, Blade Runner or something, or, yeah, we're going to study this thing.
Right. Whereas shooting a war movie from 1910s, to me, is that's a little harder to do. So once again, I'm gonna have to follow your lead and the book and go with All Quiet.
Alrighty. Up next is production design. Which let me pull up the odds real quick. Yeah. Okay. This is basically another runaway odds, so here for one of the movies. So the production design nominees are All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar The Way of Water, Babylon, Elvis, and The Fabelmans is in this category for some reason. I am not, you know, a set deck, you know, person or anything like that. I don't generally notice unless it's weird, then I do, but that's a different thing. It's like cinematography. Well, cinematography, not so much, but it's like sound. Like, if it's good, I don't notice or anything. If it's bad, yeah, sure, of course. So production design, you know, it's, I don't know, I think all these movies' sets and stuff look pretty good. as far as I could tell, pretty authentic to the period, as far as I know, or in the case of Avatar, you know, to whatever it is there. I guess that's just the, well, we got to put it somewhere.
Right.
So, I will mention at the sports book, again, this is another runaway favorite. This one for Babylon, a runaway favorite in this category.
Okay.
Which, you know what? I love Babylon, so I would love for that. I just don't think Babylon's not the kind of movie that the Oscars are going to say, yes, this is the movie we want to showcase and make some people go see it.
Well,
okay. So I'm actually, I think I'm actually going to take Elvis in production design.
Okay.
Wow. Whereas, even though I would like for Babylon to win it. And I really do kind of think it should, because it is great. But I'm going to take Elvis.
Okay. I'm not, once again, I'm not really sure what goes into this category. You know, but all of these seem to have different things that they had to design and work through. I see Babylon's only got three nominations this year, so. But I'm going to go with an underdog, and I'm going with the Fablemans.
Okay.
All the stuff they had to design, which I know Babylon was 20s. Fablemans, maybe 60s, 70s. All the different film techniques they used in there. All that, I'll go with the Fablemans.
Okay. Next is animated short, which I believe, I know you have not seen
any of these. I have not seen any of these.
Okay. So animated short, I tracked down four of these. So The Boy, the Mole, The Fox, and the Horse, which I saw. The Flying Sailor, which I saw. Ice Merchants, which I saw. My Year of Dicks, which I saw. And then An Ostrich Told Me the World is Fake and I Think I Believe It, which I could not track down anywhere. So.
Okay.
Now, again, I will, you know, maybe stupidly, but it is what it is, refer to the sportsbook odds for this. So, which, you know, based on those, at least I'm not missing much on that one. So out of the four I saw, The Flying Sailor, I think is, I don't know why it's here. It's pretty worthless to me. My Year of Dicks, I also thought was not very good. It was interesting, I will give it that, but I didn't care for it.
Okay.
So the other, so The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse, and Ice Merchants, I think this is a pretty, I think this is a lot closer than the sports book does, which is fine, but, ultimately I think, you know, the Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse is kind of your, like, it's good, but it's your kind of run-of-the-mill, like, you know, British, like, Winnie the Pooh type animated short thing, you know.
Okay.
Ice Merchants, I think, is fairly unique. I wasn't a huge fan of the animation style at all times, but I thought it worked pretty well. So I am going to take Ice Merchants in this category.
Okay.
Woohoo! Visual effects, which I think is also... Oh, yeah, okay. So the five visual effects nominees are I'll Climb on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water, The Batman, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, and Top Gun Maverick. I don't know if we need to discuss this very long. Avatar?
That's what I'll go
with. I'm going to take Avatar.
Yes.
When it's a 3.5-hour visual effect as a movie, yeah, I'm going to take Avatar.
Okay. That's what I'm taking.
Yeah, I don't think we need to cover that at all.
It's, and the sports book says that.
That is the, I think, other than supporting actor, I think that's the biggest favorite of the whole thing.
Okay.
Supporting actor is massive as well. All right, we are on to editing, which I had to find. Oh, there it is. Editing. All right. Now, if you're a Oscar historian, one of the biggest trends you ever see and always see is to win Best Picture, you need an editing nomination. And if you win editing, it's like almost a guarantee Best Picture win. Not always, but it generally is a very, very strong indicator. So, of course, we see here in editing, The Banshees of Inisherin, the first time, and far from the last, we're going to discuss that film here in this run. Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Tar, and Top Gun Maverick has received an editing nomination. Look, editing, again, one of those things I don't notice unless it's terrible. It is what it is, right? So again, I don't really have an opinion on this too much, really, but for the sake of my later pick, I am going to have to take Tar here, so
okay.
I'm picking Tar. Am I wrong? Maybe. Oh well, I'm taking Tar.
It's not life and death.
No, thankfully.
Well, for me, honestly, I did not see anything exciting in Tar for editing. I didn't see anything that exciting in Elvis for editing.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's me. Now, I saw what I consider one mistake in Banshees of Inisherin, so I cannot vote for it. So my vote is, I think they did a lot of editing in this one, is Everything Everywhere All at Once. There was a lot of editing, I think, in there, so, and it seemed to be pretty decent for me.
Honestly, if this was an award for most editing, I think Elvis would have to win this.
Okay.
Because that is, I mean, it's Boz, so there's a reason why that's the only one here with two editors.
Well, okay.
It's wild, man.
Okay, but I'll still go with Everything
Everywhere. Alrighty. Sounds good to me. Makeup and hairstyling. Again, not something I'm very well-versed in.
Yes.
So the nominees are All Quiet on the Western Front, The Batman, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Elvis, and The Whale. Now, immediately I just go, okay, this is All Quiet or The Whale. Those are the two options, right? The Whale, obviously, is probably what you would call the traditional winner. Because the makeup award typically is about a big transformation of an actor. But you could then make that same case for The Batman, honestly, really, with Colin Farrell in The Batman. But I'm not going to make that case because it's The Batman as much as I love it. No. So, you know, traditionally, you know, like I think like Mrs. Doubtfire won a makeup Oscar. I think Tootsie, I think, won one. Like last year, Liza Tammy Faye won for transforming Jessica Chastain into Tammy Faye Baker. So, in a traditional sense, The Whale, for what they do to Brendan Fraser in that movie, probably should win this. And also, the other four nominees, I didn't think there was anything that spectacular. Like, All Quiet, the, you know, all the makeup work in that is very good, but it's not quite on that whole body transformation that looks good thing that The Whale pulls off, regardless of how you feel about the everything else of that movie. So I am going to pick The Whale in makeup and hairstyle. Okay.
I have not much to add on that, so I go with The Whale also. Mostly Brendan Fraser, of course, so not much on the other players in that one. So I could keep it down, I guess, but I will go with The Whale also.
Alrighty. International feature, this is going to be short.
Yes.
So the nominees are All Quiet on the Western Front, Argentina 1985, Close, EO, and The Quiet Girl. Now, unfortunately, due to where we live and everything, only one of these has remotely played. Well, actually, they all have played at a theater near us.
Okay.
Well, down at the Art House, which, you know. But,
okay.
So we've only seen one, All Quiet on the Western Front, and it's the only one that has the Best Picture nomination, so I'm gonna go with that. Because if it doesn't win, then something's off.
Well, I've not seen, that's the only one I've seen.
Yep.
But as I think in my mind, is it is the only one of these five nominated for the Best Picture. So if it can't win this category, it really, why isn't it the Best Picture group? So All Quiet needs to win this one.
Mm-hmm. Right, since that's basically the Academy said, well, it's the best non-American movie of the year, so.
Also not looking too far into this, but All Quiet has 9 nominations through all the Oscars. The other 4 only have this one as their only nomination.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be the best one, sorry. It's got to be All Quiet.
Mm-hmm. Live action short. The 5 nominees are An Irish Goodbye, Ivalu, Evilu, La Pupille, Night Ride, and The Suitcase. Red Suitcase.
The Red Suitcase. I have not seen any of these.
I have seen 2. These were much harder to track down. So I saw La Pupille and Night Ride, both of which I thought were terrible. So I'm going to say, well, actually, let me look at the odds for this. This is actually where this is helpful, because I don't know anything about these. Well, they're like me. They have no idea what to make of it. They all basically have the same odds to win, so. So I'm going to go with this. I see Les Pupilles. I see Alfonso Cuarón's name is listed. So I'm going to pick that one.
Okay.
Because they normally like Cuarón, and I love Cuarón, but that's a different thing. I don't think he technically did anything on the short, but I hope he didn't since I watched it. Alrighty, documentary short. I saw 4 of the 5 of these. So.
Okay.
And you saw none.
I have not watched any of these.
We have The Elephant Whisperers, Haul Out, How Do You Measure a Year, which is the one I cannot track down. The Martha Mitchell Effect, and Stranger at the Gate. Now, these are some different choices. So you have Elephant Whisperers, which is about people that run an elephant reservation in India. You know, it's pretty cute.
Okay.
Haul Out, which is about the slow death of the walrus due to global climate change. So very fun. Obviously, How Do You Measure a Year? I have no idea what that's about. It's by Jay Rosenblatt, though, so it could be pretty interesting. Martha Mitchell is, of course, about Martha Mitchell, a key figure in Watergate for all you American historians. A key figure of Watergate, obviously, since this is in the short category, it skims a lot, which is, you know, fine, but, you know. And then Stranger at the Gate is what I want to say one of the weirdest tones I've seen in a documentary in a while. Because what Stranger at the Gate is about is it's about this guy in Muncie, Indiana, who wanted to commit domestic terrorism. He wanted to blow up a mosque in Muncie in like 2005 after 9/11 and all. And murder a bunch of people, right? That's what he wanted to do. But when he went into the mosque for reconnaissance to figure out where best to place the bombs to kill the most people and stuff, he found out that, oh, Muslim people are cool. And so he decided not to murder them all, and he then converted to Islam later. And so the tone of this documentary is like, look, sure, he was a white supremacist who wanted to commit domestic terrorism, but we should sympathize with him because he has found his way changed to not doing that.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a weird tone.
Okay.
I'm going to put that in the triangle of sadness camp of, I get why they nominated it. It's really stupid that they did, but I do understand why they did in that one particular way. Ultimately, given the combination of cute animals and a moderately interesting story that is not completely depressing, I'm going to go with the Elephant Whisperers as winning this, since it features two baby elephants for, like, most of its runtime. So, I'm going to go the old America's Funniest Home Videos. Cute animal and or baby, that's the winner.
It's the winner.
I'm going to use that principle in this. Up next, a category technically we should skip because it's feature documentary, which I have not seen any of these, and I don't believe you have either.
Nope.
Technically, I was going to watch a couple of them tonight after, and I probably still will after this record, so you know. So the nominees are All That Breathes, All the Beauty and the Bloodshed, Fire of Love, A House Made of Splinters, and Novelny, which is about the Russian dissenter.
Okay.
Let me just, I'm just going to do this. So the sports book says Novelny is a pretty large favorite, so we're just going to pick that one.
Okay.
Sorry. Original score.
Okay.
All Quiet on the Western Front. Babylon. Banshees of Inisherin. Everything Everywhere All at Once. And The Fablemans. Because it's John Williams, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah.
Look. Score is something I kind of do moderately. I do bring up every now and then after watching the movies, as you can attest to with our big quiet discussion when I brought up the score of that movie. Look, I don't know what else to say about this. The score to Babylon's incredible, man. I'm just going to take Babylon.
Okay.
It should win. I want it to win, and I think it will win.
Okay.
Great stuff, Babylon. Wonderful stuff.
Well, I hate to say, but I rarely even recognize a score.
Mm-hmm.
It's very...
mm-hmm.
I hardly ever recognize one. So, but I did recognize the one in Everything Everywhere All at Once, so I will go with that one again.
Okay. This is, I'm going to say, the weirdo category that I don't know what to do with.
Okay.
Original song. We have Applause from a film called Tell It Like a Woman.
Never seen.
Nope. I've never heard of it. I don't think anyone really has. It's Diane Warren. I think this is her, like, 15th nomination, all in original song. The Academy loves her. It is what it is. We got Hold My Hand from Top Gun Maverick, which is apparently by Lady Gaga, and someone named Blood Pop. Lift Me Up from Black Panther Wakanda Forever by Rihanna. Not Too from RRR. And we have This Is a Life from Everything Everywhere All at Once by David Byrne and Mitski.
Yes.
I have no idea. I've not seen Tell It Like a Woman. I've seen the other four movies. I cannot tell you what three of those songs are. I think we theorized they're from the credits, which, you know, I normally don't watch. So, you know, sue me, but I don't watch the credits normally. So I have no idea. The only song in here I have actually heard, and heard it in the movie, and is used greatly in the movie, and fits in the movie, is, of course, Not Too. And that's the pick I'm going to make, because, of course, why not?
Yeah, same here.
Mm-hmm.
Not Too.
Great dance number.
Yes.
I also can't believe, well, maybe they don't, I don't know. Because I was thinking, for original song, I wonder if they have to watch the whole movie. Because I could see the Oscar voters being like, I'm not sitting through 3+ hours of some Indian action movie just to see this one song number. But I don't know, maybe they just, like, listen to the song or just see the song part of the movie, maybe they can do that.
Yeah, they may just listen to the song. So.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm picking.
That's my pick also.
All right. Animated feature. This is another weird one that I haven't gotten to see much of, actually, because that was going to be tomorrow night. Anywho, animated feature. The nominees are Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, The Sea Beast, and Turning Red. I've only seen two of these, Puss in Boots and Turning Red.
Yes.
The other three, Look, Pinocchio was near us, but for various reasons we didn't see it. Marcel, nowhere near here, and Sea Beast was a Netflix movie, so, you know, is what it is. Look, because I know the Academy loves him, I love him, everyone loved the movie, I'm taking Pinocchio.
Okay.
I haven't seen it, I don't care, I'm taking it.
I'm sure that'll probably be the winner, but I'll take Turning Red, because that was one of the only two I saw.
I really liked it, I mean...
Yes.
If Pinocchio wasn't in here, that would be my pick, but... If I don't know if they nominated the bad guys or something instead.
Right.
Pinocchio. All right, now we're going to get into what I'm going to call the... Well, we're into the big categories now.
Okay.
Adapted screenplay. We have All Quiet on the Western Front. Glass Onion. A Knives Out Mystery. Living. Top Gun Maverick. And Women Talking. I think the first category in, well, not in a long time, but in a little while, where we've seen all five of these films.
Yes.
Look, All Quiet, I like. The screenplay's not the strong suit of that, but, you know, it is what it is. Living, I didn't care for, you know.
Right.
It's fine. Just watch Akira. I don't know. Then Glass Onion and Top Gun are both in here in the way that I hate, which is that by Academy rule, anything that's a sequel is an adaptation, which I think is very weird, but that's their rule.
I see, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then you got Women Talking, which is, I liked, you did not, but a film I liked and I think is a, I haven't read the book, but from just watching the movie, I do think is a pretty solid adaptation, a good one. I will say at the sports book, Women Talking is, I'm going to say a moderate favorite. Though basically the way these odds are is they basically point to, it's Women Talking or All Quiet. Nothing else has a chance. Is basically how the odds line up. Okay. Though they do think Women Talking is going to win.
I see.
Now, this is where I guess we can start this. In a perfect world, even though I would argue that this should not be an adapted screenplay, I would love for Glass Onion to win this. Because, you know, great film. I quite enjoyed it. Everything. However, so that would be my what I want to win. Although I know it will not. Because, you know, no, it's not. I mean, I don't know for sure. But I think if you look back through the history of this award, even though they're in here somewhat frequently due to Academy rules... Sequels don't usually win this category, even if they're here. So I am going to follow suit. I will take Women Talking. I do think that's going to win. Sarah Polley, who I will say the Academy generally has really liked her in the past. Women Talking, not quite so much. This is its only nomination other than Best Picture. Although I do think part of that's like, okay, how do you classify who's the lead of this movie, all that stuff. I know we all kind of thought she'd get a directing nom that went to Ruben Östlund. We'll get to that later, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm taking Women Talking in this category. I think that's going to win it.
Okay. It probably will, but since I really dislike that movie so much, I am not going to... say that one. Glass Onion, pretty decent, but this is that film's only nomination, so I don't see that it could win. So I'm going to take a long shot here. I'm taking Top Gun.
Top Gun, alrighty.
It was 30 years for a sequel, or 40?
40-ish, yeah, somewhere in that range.
A sequel, and they did quite well, so I will take that. That they actually made a sequel that worked.
Alrighty. Original screenplay. We have The Banshees of Inisherin, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fablemans, Tar, and Triangle of Sadness is here. Look, another one we've seen all of.
Yes.
I'll just start with this. Get Triangle of Sadness out of here. I just no.
Okay.
I'm sorry. No. A terrible, terrible film. I did not like it at all. Fablemans, I mean, the other four movies I loved. So, well, Banshees, I wouldn't say I loved, but I liked. The other three I loved, right? So, I don't know what to tell you here. I guess let's consult the sports book. Original screenplay. Well, they're kind of in agreement with me. Everything Everywhere, Banshees, and Tar is basically a tie. So, great. Well, they have Fablemans way down there, actually. They don't think it has any chance, which is probably true. Look. Again, since I know what I'm going to do later at Best Picture, I'm going to have to kind of align some of these earlier picks that it technically would need to win in a traditional sense. So, we're going to take Tar. I think that'll win. I would like it to win.
Okay.
Because I do think that is the strongest script out of this bunch.
Hmm.
You know, Banshees is a little iffy. Everything is good, but it's a little, I'm going to call it light for this category normally. Fableman's kind of same deal, although that's Spielberg, so that's what it is. Triangle, we're not going to talk about.
No. Well, see, I have a problem in this category.
Okay.
I know I'm not the Academy, thank goodness.
Uh-huh.
But I have a problem with this. Okay, I'm not sure about the Banshees. That one might be the same. But for the Fablemans and Tar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Best original screenplay.
Okay.
And I'm like, I know they say adapted from a novel or a book or another movie or a TV show or something. But, I mean, these are adapted from some person's real life.
Well, Fablemans is.
And Tar is...
not.
I thought that was... that wasn't based on...
nope. Completely invented.
Okay. So Tar's different then.
Which stumped a lot of people after they saw the movie.
Yeah.
Because they were like, how could this be completely made up?
Okay. I thought I read that it was someone's life, but... so the Fablemans, see? It's
yeah, I know.
It's from his real life. Mm-hmm. It's not... like an original story to me.
Well.
I mean, sure, it hasn't been told yet or whatever, but it's not like made up as made up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm choosing Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Okay.
Once again.
I get it.
And if that movie would have stopped at like 2 hours or somewhere around there, it would be almost perfect, but it went on, and I think the last half hour drags it out. But anyway,
that's the important emotional core of the movie.
Yes,
is the bad part. Okay,
You know, it falls apart at that part.
Oh boy. Okay.
So to me, Everything Everywhere All at Once is a very original screenplay. Very. So I'm choosing it.
All righty. Sounds fine. Yeah, I get it. Supporting actor, which, I mean, as I alluded to earlier, out of all the categories, this is, at the sports book at least, the biggest favorite in any category whatsoever. So the nominees are Brendan Gleeson from The Banshees of Inisherin, Brian Tyree Henry from Causeway, a movie I have not seen.
Okay, me neither.
Judd Hirsch from The Fablemans for his, like, 5 minutes in the movie.
Yes.
Barry Keoghan from The Banshees of Inisherin. And Kei-Hee Kwan from Everything Everywhere All at Once, which, as I alluded to earlier, massive, massive favorite in this category, which is, of course, Kei-Hee Kwan, which is what I will pick, because, yeah, I don't... look, maybe Brian Tyree Henry's great. I don't know. He usually is, but, you know... the others, like, Brendan Gleeson's fine. He's not the important part of that movie. Barry Keoghan, I don't honestly even know why he's here. But, you know, whatever, fine. It is what it is. Fine. Hirsch, I could say the same thing. It's like, I...
yeah.
Yeah, his one scene's great. It's like one scene. I'm sorry. Like I know going way back when we did our 79 thing where we did this, and I was like lobbying for Marlon Brando to win the Oscar for his one scene in Apocalypse Now. But look, that's different, okay?
Okay.
That's a little different.
Well,
so yeah, we will go Kahi Kwan.
I agree with you, so I'm going with the same thing. Another win for everything, everywhere.
Supporting actress. If you are like me and you weirdly follow all these things, this has been a very interesting supporting actress race this year. So the nominees are Angela Bassett for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Hong Chow for The Whale. Carrie Condon, Banshees of Inisherin. Jamie Lee Curtis, Everything Everywhere All at Once. And Stephanie Sue, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Now, the subject of intrigue that I mentioned. This has been a very interesting race. For a long time, basically, it was Angela Bassett is going to win. The last couple weeks, through the SAG Awards and some other Guild Award that I don't remember what it was that happened recently, Jamie Lee Curtis has made a gigantic leap into possibly winning this as well. And to the point, I think, if I look at supporting actress right now, Jamie Lee Curtis is actually favored now.
Okay.
But her ambassador, I mean, right there. And then Condon's actually not very far behind either.
Okay.
Yeah. Hong Chow, they agree, has no chance. Which, you know, if that said Hong Chow for The Menu, then sure, maybe. But for The Whale, no. Sorry. No.
No.
So this is, look. This is where I'm like, okay, I don't know what to do with this. The Angela Bassett thing always seemed weird to me. But that's probably more of the I'm just going, it's Black Panther. Why is this, you don't nominate this normally, guys. What are you doing? Yeah, she's great in that movie. And she's arguably the most important part of that movie, really. And actually makes it work for the most part. But that is not what they normally nominate, obviously.
Right.
Though then again, that's also probably why Hong Chow says The Whale and not The Menu. Because The Menu is not something they're going to nominate. So this is a category I don't really know what to do with.
Okay.
Jamie Lee, like, yeah, I love it. She's great. But that's really what we're doing? Like, I mean, okay, fine. It is what it is. I just don't know with this one what to do with this category.
Okay.
I think honestly though, because I would like to see the Oscars get weird and do something weird for them, I think I will take Angela Bassett in this category. Yeah. I want to see them get weird and actually like be like, no, yeah, sure, Black Panther, yeah, sure. That's fine. You know, I mean, granted, Everything Everywhere All at Once is also very weird for them. To recognize a film like that is also very weird. You know, obviously, yeah, if we're playing the traditional sake, then, oh yeah, Carrie Condon is sitting at home already with this on her mantle already, you know.
Okay.
If we're going the traditional route.
Yes. Okay. I honestly don't see anything.
I'm taking Angela Bassett is what I'll do.
I don't get it for Condon. I just don't see it there. But I am taking Jamie Lee Curtis.
Okay.
Her performance to me is really stands out to me.
All right. Lead actor. This has been another fascinating race all year. Well, all last month, couple months. So the nominees are Austin Butler, Elvis, Colin Farrell, The Banshees of Inisherin, Brendan Fraser, The Whale, Paul Mescal, After Sun, which I have not seen.
Me neither.
And Bill Nighy, Living. Which, I'll just say this. He's fine. I'm going to say on both hands, I get it, and I also don't understand it.
Okay.
And it's like, yes, Bill Nighy, who's like 90 or 80 or something. He's quite old, so sure, fine. Just throw him in here. you know, fine. You know, it is fine, whatever. He has no chance to win, so what's the trouble? I'm giving him a free nomination, right? Paul Mescal, again, I don't know. He's great in that movie. I have no idea.
I have no idea.
So that leaves us with Butler, Farrell, and Frazier, which I believe... No, so the odds book, the book at least, basically has it. It's basically a tie between Frazier and Butler. Colin Farrell, they think, is unlikely but possible, and then the other two have no chance, basically. So, which, you know, yeah, that's probably about right. So Butler and Brendan Frazier is basically what this comes down to, at least for me. And I'm going to assume for you, given how much I know you love Banshees of Inisherin.
Thank you.
Look, this is the thing that I come back to all the time, which I forget the exact stat. I guess I could look it up. But let's see here. Let me see here. Okay. So this was a stat which I was put out a couple weeks ago that I think is instructive for this. Yes, so, in the last 10 years, lead actor, the person that won lead actor, has won it 7 of the last 10 times for playing a real person. In lead actress, that has only happened 3 of 10. Obviously, last year, both were real people that were portrayed. Last year. So, of course, that leads me to go, well, Austin Butler, obviously, because... Elvis.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And also, look, I don't get the Brendan Frazier, like, massive train for this. I don't get it. I think he's fine. I just don't fully get it for that performance. I think a lot of people are latching on to the big suit and everything. Like, yeah, sure. Great. Great, we can give Mike Myers one for Austin Powers because he wears a big fat suit? No, that'd be ridiculous. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I just don't quite get it with Brendan Fraser, and lead actor goes to someone portraying a real person a lot. So I will fully take Austin Butler.
Okay.
Out of these nominees, you know, is it what I would say my favorite lead acting performance? No, not really. But out of the options I'm presented, it's the one going with.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Austin Butler taking on Elvis. That's a hard thing to do. Except when I think about it, how many Elvis impersonators are out there? Thousands, maybe millions. I mean, there's a lot of them, but he did I thought was a fantastic job doing that. But yes, how many actors, you know, most of them want to be thinner, prettier. So how many actually put on, you know, 200 pound, 300 pounds, and he actually looked like he, when he was trying to stand and stuff, yeah, sometimes it slipped a little.
I will say, this would be vastly dangerous for him to have done. But if this was like, if he did like Christian Bale in The Machinist and like actually made his body look like that.
Yeah.
Sure.
If he would have done that, oh my God.
But.
And that's why I'm going to go with Brendan Fraser. Because I know after, I think it was the premiere of that. Somewhere, he had that 30-minute standing ovation from everyone.
So
I will take Brendan Fraser.
Triangle of Sadness got like a 10-minute standing ovation at Cannes.
Yeah, but it was terrible. So
okay.
And none of those people are on here as best. No. So I'm taking Brendan Fraser.
All right. Lead actress.
Oh, boy.
We have Cate Blanchett, Tar. Anna de Armas, Blonde, a film I've not yet seen.
Me neither.
Andrea Riseborough, To Leslie, the massive controversy of the entire Oscar season.
And I've never seen
I have
one.
Not seen yet either. Michelle Williams, The Fabelmans, and Michelle Yeoh, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Now, well, firstly, I don't think either of us are going to pick Anna or Andrea, but...
No.
I will say this. I assume the only reason Anna de Armas is here is because she plays Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Other than that, I don't know why she's here. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm going to keep this short. Cate Blanchett is awesome, and I'm going to pick her in this category.
Okay.
I love Michelle Yeoh, too. She's great, too. She's awesome as well, but well, I'm going to take Cate Blanchett.
Okay. Well, I'm going to keep my streak going, I guess, and I'm taking Michelle Yeoh.
Mm.
Everything. She was pretty good.
Yes. Yes, she was. All right. We have Best Director. Todd Field, Tar. Daniels, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Martin McDonagh, The Banshees of Inisherin. Ruben Ostlund, Triangle of Sadness. And Steven Spielberg, The Fablemans. I'm going to keep this short. It's Spielberg. Okay. I'm going with that.
You're going with that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping my streak going. I'm going with Everything Everywhere All at Once. All
righty.
Kwan and Chabert.
Mm-hmm. All right, the big one. Best Picture. We have All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar: The Way of Water, The Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fablemans, Tar, Top Gun: Maverick, Triangle of Sadness, and Women Talking. Now, in reality, if we wanted to, this could easily be a whole another probably, I'm not going to call it an hour, but we could spend a good amount of time on this if we really wanted to. So, real quick, here's what I'm going to go through. Avatar, like no chance, right? I mean, just not happening. So I'm just going to go film by film here. Well, actually, you know what I'm going to do? So, what I would love to win, obviously, since out of these options, this actually became my favorite film of the year after my second viewing of it. What I would like to win is Tar. You know, that did become my favorite movie of the whole year after seeing it a second time. Absolutely loved it. However, what I think is going to win, because this feels like the Oscars doing what they do, I'm going to pick Elvis in this category. That feels like the Oscars move, because it's technically like the wrong move. And the weird move. So that feels right, because, you know, they've been better recently with, like, Coda was weird, you know. Like, okay, we did Parasite, and we did Nomadland, and we did,
Green Book?
Well, that was before.
That was before.
We did something else, and I'm forgetting off the top of my head. So it's, you know, but 2021, I'm forgetting, oh, that was Nomadland. Okay, right, because we had the weird one Oscars that counts for 2 years thing. Right, okay. So, it's like, okay, we're getting, you know, more out there. You know, I think Coda was probably like, you know, that was a weird one. We could discuss more, but why doesn't make sense to discuss here. So I think Elvis makes the most sense to me. I know everyone's all on board with Everything Everywhere All at Once train, which I'm going to take a wild guess you probably are too, which is fine. I understand. I love the movie. I think it's great. It just doesn't feel like what the Oscars would do to me.
Well, I think it's going to win, yes. Everything, okay. Everywhere, All at Once. Will win. It probably won't.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's too many wins for one film.
Yeah, I was going to say, that'd be like a Return of the King level win thing with you
so,
here.
So it's not going to win all of those.
No.
But what kills me, And, you know, I didn't like these movies, but Triangle of Sadness as Best Picture only has 3 nominations overall. I'm sorry, you can't have just 3 and be in here. Women Talking only has 2 nominations.
Mm-hmm.
How can you be the best picture if you only have 2 nominations of all these?
I will say again, it depends what they are. Like Triangle of Sadness, it's this, but then it's directing and screenplay.
Well, I just...
You know, Women Talking, you know, it's screenplay.
I am kind of surprised that Avatar only has 4 nominations. But...
Well, it's all... I mean,
I just don't think it can win with just that many. I'm sorry. But I'm going with Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Well, Avatar, I mean, they're all craft stuff, right? They're like effects and production design and cinematography stuff.
Yeah, that's because the acting is not that...
Is not the point.
It's not the point in those.
Notable, really.
Yeah, right.
Right. All right. Well, there you go. We picked all 23 categories to some extent for this year's upcoming Oscar ceremony, which we will see on Sunday night. I presume we will be back to break it down on Monday afternoon.
Okay.
I mean, Sunday night, I know, unless they change it drastically this year, like last year, it was like 11:30 Eastern is when Best Picture was handed out, so it'd be like midnight. So we'll probably return Monday afternoon for a discussion of what actually occurred, if we decide to do one, I guess.